Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It should be about 5 a.m., and you're listening to All. Welcome to the middle third of 2021, Radio WBAR New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things on this program, and you can find out a little bit more about it all by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. And you can look around at things up there. When you get there, you will see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen. At the top, it will say Latest Back of the Book Program Links. Click on that and you'll get to the webpage for this morning's radio program. And the WBAI website and the archives seem to be functioning. And we do a webpage for every radio program, and this past week I have completely updated the webpage for the previous program, so you might want to look around at that if you feel like it. This is our 41st pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning, so if things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is the way we have to do it in these dangerous times. In the top news of this past week on Twitter, we have popped back up to 108 followers. We have 108 followers on Twitter. Oh, wowee, that's just so tremendous. 108 followers. Oh, I don't think there's anybody else in the multiverse that has that many followers on Twitter. We have some sad news, which I think probably most of you, if not all of you, have already heard, and that is that one of our fellow producers, Bob Fass, has passed away this past week. And Bob Fass, of course, had been at BAI for like more than 50 years. And so he was here and he really started doing the freeform live radio stuff here at WBAI. And that's the kind of program we do when we can do it live. Now we're doing, I don't know, I guess this is semi-free form pre-recorded radio these days. And anyway, Bob apparently died of natural causes. I hear it was congestive heart failure. Yeah, he'd been here for so long, and we've had a number of programs relating to Bob Fass and Radio Unnameable, the program he was doing. Bob had been doing that for so many years. And we knew Bob back in those days. And he certainly was a colorful guy, all right. Yeah, Bob was not at all afraid of testing substances, as I recall. Many of us did such things years ago. Some of us no longer do those things because we figured some of us think we're too old for that now. Bob Fass had been at BAI for so many decades, and he did really stand forth for freeform live radio and how we do things. And he did a lot of programming that brought new people that nobody'd ever heard of before, like Bob Dylan. And he did a lot of anti-war stuff around the Vietnam War. And so he will be terribly missed. And we're sorry to see Bob go. It's also a reminder that a lot of us are also not spring chickens, and we are all going to eventually go. WBAI has been running a number of specials about Bob Fass over the past few days here since he passed away. And so, yeah, I'm sure you can get a lot more detail on that. Plus, there's stuff online about Bob, and even certain newspapers are recognizing that Bob Fass is no longer with us. All right, so Bob is missed. He was a colleague, and we will miss him. So, goodbye, Bob. I will not say rest in peace, because that indicates some sort of belief in an afterlife, and there is no afterlife. We are each here for a while, and then we cease to exist. Some people say, where do you go when you die then? We go to the same place we were before we were born. All right, in other stuff, the next public WBAI local station board meeting is scheduled to be held on Wednesday, May 12th, 2021 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. The Johns Hopkins website continues to supply information, and according to that website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 150,821,163 on Friday, and global deaths reached 3,171,320. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 32,337,011, and the death toll in America was 575,845. So 4,754 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. And that's a lot of people to have died, but once again, the death rate is trending lower in America. We're now under 5,000 dead in America in 1 week. That hasn't happened in quite a while. And I'm seeing reports in the news that more people are getting infected, but we have the lowest number of deaths in 1 week that we've seen in a long time. Of course, in India, it's going crazy. In India, they're having to expropriate the parking lots to do mass cremations of the bodies out in the open because so many people are dying there. We're doing better, but other parts of the world, they're still unable to cope with it. Of course, New York City is supposedly going to open up completely, as if there weren't a pandemic at all, on July 1st.
This sounds crazy to me, because we don't know what's going to happen 2 months from now. We don't know how many of the virulent variants are going to be here by then, or are here now and will work their way into the population. We don't know. And why, with the mayor, the governor, they never, ever let the people in the health department take the lead in press conferences or issuing stuff about what should happen. You know, I'd like to see what the city's doctor, Dr. Choksi, has to say about this. Oh, no, all we hear is de Blasio saying, oh, yes, we're going to do this. Of course, we're going to take precautions. Yeah, well, the precaution would be you open things slowly, incrementally, and then you see how it goes. You don't make a grand pronouncement and then, you know, have to eat your words, or worse, have more people go into the hospital because of your policy.
And, yeah, it's politicians always jump in and take the lead because they're the great leaders. And they don't pay attention to things like the scientists and science itself, because they're used to finagling and politics and trading. You can't trade with things like the laws of physics or viruses. You can't bribe the virus to not do something. Who knows what's going to happen? This could be okay, could work out nicely, could also be something that is a bad idea. We should be hearing more from more of the scientists and the people who understand this stuff and have studied for years how viruses work, how pandemics work. There's a lot of information about this, and a great deal of it is information that you get through mathematics, which may sound strange to people, but the statistics of how this stuff works, it's there. It was predictable once we started getting the virus in America and into the world, and people like Dr. Fauci were talking about it and saying it's going to go up like this. And he talks about the plateau. That's another mathematical reference. And you can just calculate how these things work depending on what you do. And the scientists have a handle on this. And it would be really good if we heard more from the scientists and not so much from the politicians who are always trying to run for the next public office or do whatever they want, or I don't know, whatever the hell politicians do. I can't figure them out most of the time. So those are the numbers from Johns Hopkins for this week. And of course, by the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures will be higher. And so we're talking about COVID-19 here in a pandemic.
Yes, I have an incident that happened in my family, my extended family. Even though people are getting vaccinated and many people are still trying to be careful. My second cousin's family, she married into Italian Canadians, fine people. They decided they, in the middle of the pandemic in April, wanted to go ahead and celebrate Easter. Well, they called her up and her husband, and she said, no way are you going to this. It's a pandemic. So he missed the family celebration, and shortly thereafter, 10 of the celebrants ended up with COVID-19. Some of them are in the hospital. His dad is in the hospital, very serious. And his dad was a healthy guy in his 70s. He's having a very, very bad time. This is so disheartening. And this happened in Ontario, which is one of the worst places in Canada right now. The numbers are very bad in Ontario. Despite all of that, despite you're not supposed to get together, they're supposed to be having a lockdown, they went ahead and did this. I'm presuming no distancing and no masks.
Were any or all of them vaccinated?
Well, that's a question, isn't it? Depending on their age and whether they got vaccinated, I don't know. I don't know because, as you know, Canada is having the rollout where it's a lot odder than in the United States and nobody gets more than one shot unless you had your first shot 4 months ago. I would tend to think that they didn't. If they're getting together and they're not having masks and they're not social distancing, it makes me think that they were saying, oh, this isn't going to happen to me, which is not an unusual thing for a number of people, you know.
We're very glad here today. It is May 1st, and no, we're not going to try and get you to join the Joseph Stalin fan club for May 1st. What we're going to do is say, the middle third is here. Whoopee, the middle third. It starts today as you hear this. Now, we're recording this on April 30th, of course, but for you, it's May 1st or later if you're listening on the archive. And so May 1st starts out the middle third. The middle third is something I realized some years ago. I think it's a couple of decades ago by now. And it's the middle third of the year. And it consists of the months of May, June, July, and August. These are great months for me because I like the warm weather. I like to have a lot of sunlight. I like to have the sunset time be later rather than earlier. And right now, We're approaching 8 o'clock. We're approaching sunset at 8 p.m. on a daily basis, and we will get there in a few more days. Eventually, at the end of June, beginning of July, which is, you know, less than 2 months from right now, we will be seeing sunset at 8:31 p.m., at least in Brooklyn. I go by Brooklyn. Other places, I don't know, you may have a slightly different time for that, but 8:31 p.m. is when the sun sets in Brooklyn in certain times, the end of June, beginning of July. And these are warm months. I really like that. I don't like shivering. I don't mind sweating a bit, but I don't like shivering. I don't have to wear as much clothing. Well, and yeah, you know. And so there's a lot to be liked about it. You got things growing and flowering. You've got the leaves on the trees. There are flowers all over the place and all of that. There are also insects, but that's life. But yes, the middle third is, to me, the greatest time of the year. And we're now in it. This is the first day of it. And a very good aspect of it for 2021 is we'll be able to go out into it. For the middle third of 2020, I did not go out one time. I mean, we went in, and on March 7th of 2020, we did our last live radio program, and it was more than 6 months after that before I went out the door again. Pickles of the North goes out to get some stuff, and oh, she's really good with the masks and things, and I'm kind of terrible with the masks and things. But we did go out, and I got a flu shot in, late September. In late September, I got a flu shot. So it was more than 6 months that I spent in the house. And then we only went to the VA hospital, and that was it. We only went to the VA hospital and came right back. No extra excursions. And so we did that twice more for the COVID-19 vaccination. And that's largely been it, except we did go out to get a newspaper, and we are now looking forward to going out and doing all sorts of stuff and getting me out in there so I can practice walking again. Oh, I have become such a flabby creature in this pandemic. Really, I can hardly walk at all. I mean, I can, after about a block and a half, oh man, my legs are starting to feel it.
Well, be prepared. The coming week, you're going out.
Anyway, but yes, the middle third is here. And even if you're just looking out the window, it's going to be much nicer to look at least in my opinion, in some developments over this past week. A stupid right-wing attack on President Biden has come out, and where the right-wing idiots are saying he's going to force Americans to eat only 4 pounds of meat a year. And this piece of nonsense stemmed from a British rag called the Daily Mail. Well, you know, you can print all sorts of things in the world. And this Daily Mail article came to the conclusion that an academic study done in 2020 by the University of Michigan and Tulane University, which had examined what would happen if people reduced their consumption of beef to 4 pounds a year, they said this is what Biden is going to force on people. And oh, man, this had nothing to do with the Biden administration. And they had the people from the University of Michigan on there who were a part of this. And I said, no, that's not what it's about. This was a speculative thing. It was an academic paper. It has nothing to do with the Biden administration. I'll point out also, it came out in 2020 when that moron Trump was in the White House. So it isn't some sort of dictate from Biden, because he couldn't have done that. It happened before he was president. And so they're going with this and that crazy person who tried to bring her gun onto the floor of Congress, and who may be the one who got the bad guys, the insurrectionists, gave them all their directions and how to go here and where the weak points are. Oh boy, I hope she gets indicted sometime soon and goes to prison. Anyway, she's calling Biden the Hamburglar. They come up with these funny little things they get to do. Isn't that nice of them? And so this is what they've been harping on. And Fox News is running a graphic that says, oh, this is what he's going to do. He's going to reduce everybody to one hamburger a month. And you only get to have 4 pounds of beef a year. And various of a couple of governors of states picked up on that and started denouncing it. You know, if you're the governor of a state, I would hope that you would base decisions on something other than a graphic on a notoriously biased TV program. Really, this is, you got to be a stupid governor to just shoot your mouth off about something that you just barely saw on TV. It's just a little thing at the bottom of the screen. And with all of these right-wing creeps, including some state governors and some legislators in Congress, they were all railing as if this whole idea was rooted in reality. No fact-checking there. They don't need it. It's called confirmation bias, and we all have it. We all have confirmation bias. It's a thing of where if something really looks good to you, you say, "Yeah, that's I believe that." If you believe that the moon is made of green cheese, and somebody says, "Oh, look, a piece of the moon fell onto the earth," and they show you a piece of green cheese, and then they show you a rock, and they say, "Which one of these is a piece of the moon that fell onto the earth?" Well, if you believe the moon is made of green cheese, you're going to say that hunk of cheese is what fell on the earth. That's confirmation bias, and it's about as silly as what these other people, these right-wing jackasses, are doing. And in fact, Fox News even had to issue a, quote, correction, unquote, to the statements made on their air over this. And this is how the right wing does things now. They come up with these lies, just a total fabrication, and they blast it out there and try to make political hay on it. And of course, I'm sure that some of the selfish and stupid people who vote for Trump and these other right-wing idiots, they probably buy it, and they're probably still running around hollering about it and making believe that it's real. But this is just what's happening in America, and this is terribly bad, and oh boy, America's really in trouble at this point with the way the right-wing is behaving and misbehaving, and how they're doing things like trying to stop people from getting basic funding so that they can continue to live. And then, of course, the relief package passes, and now they're touting it as if it were theirs. They voted against it, and yet they're all going out to their constituents and saying, yes, we in Congress have passed stuff, and because I'm such a great legislator, you now have the ability to open your bar or restaurant, and you'll get this money, and all these other things are going to happen that are good for you. But they voted against it, and I'm sure that quite a number of their constituents will never check that out, or will simply reject the truth, which is another thing that stupid and selfish people do, is reject reality. And there's a lot of reality getting rejected by the right wing in America these days. Well, I think it's probably about time for us to pitch a little bit. This is WBAI New York, and what we do is we are listener-sponsored non-commercial radio. And listener sponsored is not just a slogan, it's actually a legal declaration, because radio stations and TV stations, anything going over the air, if they are sponsored by anything, they have to say who the sponsors are. And radio and TV stations have to say, for instance, yes, this program was sponsored by Hupmobiles, you know, in case the Hupmobile company suddenly came back to life and started advertising on someplace. Or this program is sponsored by Mother Fletcher's Facciamata Macimoni Sauce, in case Jackie Gleason should come back from the grave and start sponsoring something. And anyway, I don't know if Facciamata Macimoni Sauce is exactly what it was, but that's what it sounded like to me when I was a kid. And, you know, 70 years later, I guess I'm figuring it out, and that's what it came out. Anyway, they have to say what their sponsor is. Well, we are listener-sponsored, and that's a declaration. We are listener-sponsored. You, the listeners, sponsor this radio station. How do you do that? Well, what you do is you go to your phone and you dial 1-212-209-2950. That's 1-212-209-2950. That's the still fairly new, although quite old, pledge number to call, and you'll get to the new call center, and you tell them, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. It's important that you say in the name of Back of the Book so that we can get some credit for that. And yeah, we need to have something happen like that. So what you do is you say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Now, a BAI buddy is the name we have for our sustaining membership. And a sustaining membership is where you donate on a monthly basis to WBAI. And how you do that is you tell them how much, when you get the call center, you say how much you want to contribute to WBAI. And it can be $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, or more than that. And, you know, $5 a month isn't so bad. And that would amount to $60 a year. And $5 a month, you know, maybe you could afford that. In any event, you call that number, 1-212-209-2950. You tell them how much you'd like to contribute every month. And you tell them what day of the month you would like to have your credit card or your debit card charged for that amount of money. And that way you get the charge on your card at a convenient date. So you can look around, and if like the beginning of the month is bad, you move it to the middle or the end. If the middle or the end is bad, you move it to the, or, you know, wherever you want it, whatever day you want to get dinged for this thing. Anyway, that's how it basically works. And if you become a BAI buddy, not only do you have the satisfaction of knowing that, yes, you are helping to keep listener-sponsored non-commercial radio WBAI on the air, but you're also a sponsor of this radio station. You can tell everybody, I'm a sponsor of a radio station. And, you know, you'll impress everybody, I'm sure, until you say it's WBAI. Anyway, gee, I got to remember to edit that part out later on. Remind me to edit that part out. We wouldn't want management to hear that. Anyway, but if you do that, not only do you get the satisfaction of supporting BAI, but you also get the tremendously wonderful-looking WBAI tote/grocery bag. Yeah, it's a tote bag, but now they call it a grocery bag since we have laws that make it so that you have to bring your own bag to a grocery store. So, yeah, it works that way, too. It's a bag with handles on it, and you can carry it. They used to call it a book bag. And I used to have something like that years ago, and I would go to work with it because my old briefcases were just no good anymore. And so I threw all my stuff on a daily basis into this bag, and it was a book bag. It wasn't a BAI book bag. I won't say what not-for-profit media entity it was for, but my male ex actually had done the donation. but I got the bag. And so I used to carry one of those, and it was very useful. You can use it as a briefcase. Anyway, so you can get the WBAI tote / grocery bag. Also, there are many offers for discounts on things if you're a BAI buddy. And the number to call again is 1-212-209-2950. And you can go up to WBAI.org and you can look around up there and you can find out what the offers are in terms of discounted stuff that you can get if you're a BAI buddy and they send you something. BAI sends you something. It says you're a BAI buddy and you can show this at various places. In some cases, you could do it online. It changes. So I can't say, oh, and it's this, that, and the other thing. I can't keep up with it. And there are all sorts of things you get discounts on and special deals on. And that's what happens if you become a BAI buddy. Again, 1-212-209-2950, and you get all of these great perks, the tote grocery bag, and offers and discounts and stuff. And if you're a BAI buddy, if you put in enough dough, if you get $25 before sometime in June, you will become a member of WBAI. And we're going to be having the LSB elections coming up this year. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Be careful about that. You got people who want to give the station to a Manhattan cable access network. Oh, be careful of them. And you can vote for the good guys, or at least the better guys. 1-212-209-2950. That's the number to call, and it would be really helpful if you would call that number and tell us, yeah, you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, or if you want to guarantee that you'll be able to vote in the LSB elections, you can call up and make a one-time donation of $25 or more and say, I want to become a BAI buddy, and, here's my stuff. And by the way, if you would like to, you can send an email to me saying you've done that, and that way I'll be able to tell management, hey, look at this. And, because I don't know how management's tracking this. I know Seth, who's a pal of ours and a contributor, he pledged, and he had a little hard time finding exactly where to click to give to, make it count for Back of the Book. And some of you may have that problem, too. Let me know about that. I will jazz up management and say, hey, look, this counts for us. All right, final time, 1-212-209-2950. We hope that some of you are calling up that number right now and becoming a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. In other news, New York State has lost a seat in the House of Representatives because 89 people didn't bother to participate in the census. That's terrible. I mean, that's a big deal, important thing. And Texas gained a seat. So it's sort of like New York's seat went to Texas, where they like Trump. And this is terrible stuff. I mean, that will relate to the next Electoral College election. It will also relate to voting for the House of Representatives for the next decade. And yeah, part of it is that, one, this was a census done during a pandemic, and two, it was rigged in many ways to make it so that places like New York would be undercounted on purpose. They don't want any of the blue states with cities in them to show up well. they are counting on voter suppression. And the census, the 2020 census, is an arm of voter suppression this time around. It's not supposed to be that. It's supposed to be an objective count of who's in America. Don't have to be a citizen. Who's in America? Who's there? And, geez, you know, I think you could probably go out on any street in Manhattan and wave your hand and find 89 people who didn't bother to show up for the census. Certainly a lot of homeless people didn't get counted. We know that numbers of undocumented people were hiding. And we know that there are some people who have a political position that I'm not going to participate in this for, you know, fill in the blank for whatever their bogus reason is. And they have a political reason for not cooperating with the census. Well, thank you, all of you. You've managed to make it so that New York State is not going to get the representation that it needs to have. And Texas gets a seat extra. So, and California, by the way, also had this going on. And all in all, it looks like blue states lost seats and red states got them. And this is how it was rigged in the first place. So there's so much rigging going on. And now there will be gerrymandering like crazy to make it, because the Republicans held majorities in most of the state's legislatures. And those state legislatures determined what the voting districts are, and they will gerrymander them to keep people out whom they don't like and to get all of their voters, give them an advantage in all of this. And this is, again, going to skew things in America for the next decade. So, yeah, this is the census. The 2020 census is the major disaster that we are hardly seeing the beginning of yet, but which we'll get to see for another decade.
Yes, it's a big victory. It's a big victory for the Republican Party that they have done this. And they frightened people away from being counted in the census, too.
Yeah.
Deliberately so, with that whole citizenship question.
Yeah.
Even though it didn't end up on the census, it did its work. It did what it was supposed to do.
Indeed. It's sort of like what Aaron Nimzowitsch used to say. Aaron Nimzowitsch was a world-class chess player who died, oh gosh, approaching a century ago, long, long ago. And Aaron Nimzowitsch, known as the Stormy Petrel of the chess world, because he had all these theories, some of which turned out to be profound in chess. Anyway, one of his dicta was, the threat is mightier than the execution. And this is something important to keep in mind for things besides chess. A lot of the time, the threat is mightier than the execution in many different things. And in this case, they were threatening and bringing up to people, putting in people's minds, if you're undocumented, oh, we're going to come and get you if you do this. And that's in their minds, so they're hiding from the census takers, and they're not going to participate. And now we're going to lose representation, although we will still have many more people whom we're going to be having to service. So this is bad news here. And of course, homeless people are busy hiding from everything, and you can't see them. And, you know, God, 89? Jesus Christ. Oh, well, we are living in very difficult times with all of this right-wing crap going on. All right. Let's see. Oh, we just want to acknowledge Michael Collins, the Apollo 11 astronaut, dubbed, quote, the loneliest man in history, unquote, for his role in piloting the orbiting command module during the first moon landing Apollo mission, Apollo 11. He died on April 28th at the age of 90. So another historic figure has passed away here. And he didn't get to go to the moon right there. He had to orbit it. And he was very far away from any people. And the three of them were very far away from any people. They were, 239,000 miles away. No human beings have ever been farther away from the rest of humanity than those three were. But he got to be even lonelier because the other two guys got to go down to the surface and hang out in the lunar lander module together. So Michael Collins has died at the age of 90.
Okay.
So we've been talking about COVID-19 and the pandemic and all of that. And the thing is, the pandemic isn't only about the virus itself.
Yes, it's also about what it's doing to people's minds and spirits. And there's an article in this week's Times Magazine. That's wrong. There's an article in this week's Science Times, and it is about something called languishing. For a refresher, for those of you out there, like myself, who had to think, wait a minute, what exactly does languish mean? To lose strength or vigor, to become listless or disconsolate. This is an article by a psychologist, Adam Grant. Those blah feelings have a common name. Languishing can dull your motivation, and it may be the dominant emotion of 2021. And these are just some excerpts from this article. Languishing is a sense of stagnation and emptiness. It feels as if you're looking at your life through a foggy windshield, and it may be the dominant emotion of 2021. As scientists and physicians work to treat and cure the physical symptoms of long-haul COVID-19, many people are struggling with the emotional long haul of the pandemic. It hits some of us unprepared as the intense fear and grief of last year faded. In the early uncertain days of the pandemic, it's very likely that your brain's threat detection system, the amygdala, was on high alert for fight or flight. As you learned that masks helped protect us, but package scrubbing didn't, we learned that kind of late, but that's all right. You probably developed routines that eased your sense of dread. But the pandemic has dragged on, and the acute state of anguish has given way to a chronic condition of languish. Languishing is the neglected middle child of mental health. It's the void between depression and flourishing, the absence of well-being. You don't have symptoms of mental illness, but you're not the picture of mental health either. You're not functioning at full capacity. Languishing dulls your motivation, disrupts your ability to focus, and trips the odds that you'll cut back on work. It appears to be more common than major depression, and in some ways, it may be a bigger risk factor for mental illness. So this term was coined by a sociologist, Corey Keyes, and they found that a lot of people working, especially in healthcare, they were going like gangbusters through the whole pandemic, and then they just seemed to be more likely to not be enjoying any aspect of their life anymore. That they were, it was almost like they were once removed. It says that new evidence from pandemic healthcare workers in Italy shows that those who were languishing last spring were three times as likely than their peers to have post-traumatic stress disorder. So this is pretty serious. And I've got to say, this is something that I've been feeling myself. Things that used to give me pleasure or help me concentrate, I don't have the concentration to do it anymore. So he continues later on. We still have a lot to learn about what causes languishing and how to cure it, but naming it may be a first step. Let's see.
Done with the reading. Okay, now I gotta.
The thing is, they found that people who, at the beginning of the pandemic, were able to focus on a project, whether it's work or something at home, and they were able to keep at it, were in a much better mental frame than people who were not able to do that. And once you're not able to do that, it's hard to get back to the frame of mind where you can do that. And they recommend in this article you do little things. If you have a favorite TV show, stay up and watch it no matter what time it's on. If you it could be anything. It could be anything that, and I know our Paul knows about this because these are some of the techniques he's been using for a long time in order to feel in a better frame of mind. But the most important thing is to acknowledge that even if you're not super depressed, you're still having problems. And I think a lot of us are having problems. We've been living in this situation for over a year now. We've been cut off from all the big and little things that give us joy in our lives. You know, some people have horrible grief set upon on top of that. So don't feel bad that you're feeling bad. You know, and if you need to do a little something that makes you feel better, go ahead and do it. Try it. And I'm going to try it too. I'm going to start up with the family history again because that was giving me a lot of pleasure and I just was not able to do it. Or read those two books I was trying to read. You know, I was like, I'm going to read this science book that R. Paul recommended. And I started off and I was reading the chapters and then it was like, ugh, I can't concentrate. So again, don't beat yourself up. Know that it's real. We're languishing. If somebody asks you how you're doing, don't say fine. I keep saying fine, saying, oh, I'm languishing. And then you'll have a whole discussion on what that means.
Ah, I'm languishing. I'm monstrously depressed. I'm all bleeped up. Oh, man. Let me tell you how bleeped up I
am. Oh, yeah, sorry. I have to run now.
I've had those conversations. All right. Okay. Thank you, Pickles of the North. And in other science kind of news, Ingenuity, the little helicopter on Mars, continues to be tested, and it's apparently doing quite well. They haven't given us any more live shots of it or anything. I guess the deal was, let's go for the big historic thing, the first ever flying of an aircraft on another planet. And after that, it got to be mundane. It's sort of like what happens to everybody who gets something famous. Okay, Ingenuity, yeah, you were famous last week when you did it the first time ever. Now that you're doing even more stuff, we're not going to pay attention. You're old news now, Ingenuity. So Ingenuity has joined a great many other things and people in not quite the scrap heap of history, but in the dead letter office of history. Many of us are in that same category. And in some amusing news, Rudy Giuliani may be cohabiting in the near future with some people whom he's met before. This past week, the feds served search warrants on Giuliani's Manhattan apartment and his law office. They're looking to nail him for being an unregistered agent for a foreign government. Rudy Giuliani is an agent. And this relates to all of that nonsense that he and Trump were spouting about Hunter Biden during the last presidential campaign. And Giuliani had a pair of hench persons named Lev and Igor, rather comical, except they were ripping people off, helping him out with his particular caper. So at 6 a.m. this past week, the feds invaded Giuliani's place and seized lots of records, including a lot of electronic devices where records may be stored. Giuliani is calling federal investigators, quote, jealous, unquote, of his term as U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York in the 80s. So that's why they raided his home and office, he says. It's a bit ironic that he's being raided by the same office he used to run. I remember his grandstanding with Senator Amato from Long Island, and they were both Republicans, and they were doing things that they would dress up in motorcycle gear to help actual law enforcement people raid the Hell's Angels or something. But they would be dressed like that. And, oh, photo op. You know, what puerile buffoons. So, maybe Rudy's going to meet some new friends whom he helped to put where they are now when this is all over.
Remember when he was America's mayor for, for 2 weeks?
That was it, 2 weeks. Other than that, he was a crap mayor.
2 weeks. These politicians have a really short sell-by date, don't they?
Oh,
he was humming for 2 weeks. The current governor of the state of New York was a decent, pretty much decent human being for about 5 months. That ended quickly. The mayor, he's just, what was the word you used? Puerile idiot.
Yeah,
well, that could be applied to the three of them, I think.
Another Trump crony who's gotten records seized is one Alan Weisselberg. This guy handles Donald Trump's finances and the finances of his various companies. Manhattan District Attorney Cy Vance Jr. recently used a grand jury subpoena to seize boxes of documents from Weisselberg's ex-daughter-in-law. You may remember that as we went to record a previous program, we talked about her a little bit and the fact that there was some kind of breaking news about her and records and Trump, but we didn't have time to do anything about it because we were literally leaving the room to come over here to our vast, sumptuous recording studio, entirely located on an old typing table, and record that program. Well, now stuff has happened, and all of the records she had were seized by Cy Vance and by New York Attorney General Letitia James's office, and they're doing a civil investigation into Trump's alleged asset inflation and deflation in order to get loans or breaks on his taxes, depending on what he wanted. If he wanted to get a loan, he pumped up and said, oh, this is how much I've got, and I'm so rich, you can really trust me, and if you have a lot of money, you can borrow a lot of money. And then when it came time to do things like, oh, pay taxes, he would deflate it and said, oh, you know, I have to stand out in a street corner with a cop and beg for nickels. So, almost that. And so this is the sort of stuff he would do. That's why inflating and deflating is what he was doing. And on some of these things, you sign forms where you swear that this is your every statement you've made is correct. And if you lie, oh, that can be trouble. So this is some of what they're looking at him about. And this Weisselberg guy was also involved on the money side of Trump University years ago. You remember Trump University? Did anybody on our listeners here, any of you listeners ever get a diploma from Trump University? I don't know. Did anybody ever get a diploma from Trump University? I mean, did it have a particular class about paying off the porn stars you boink? I don't know. I wonder if that was one of the classes. I never went to Trump University. Anyway, this Weisselberg guy certainly doesn't have to worry about money for himself. He's admitted that his salary had been about $450,000 a year for, quote, a long time, unquote. This is when he was being deposed about Trump University. He also recalled an annual bonus ranging, quote, anywhere from $200,000 to $400,000 a year, unquote. So this guy's unbelievably wealthy, at least to me. So will this guy, Weisselberg, end up with a cell next to Rudy? Another Trump crony, Michael Cohen, has said that Giuliani will, quote, flip on Trump in a heartbeat, unquote. Well, I wonder. I guess we may get a chance to see about that, and that could be very interesting. And Rudy's son is attacking people now. And I remember him when he was the brat at a press conference when Giuliani had won the race for mayor of New York City years ago. And he was a real brat then, messing around with things at the press conference, being a real nuisance. Now he appears to be just louder than he was then. Oh, we're coming up to the end. I should say, hey, 212-209-2950 is the number to call, and you can pledge some amount of money to WBAI. You can become a BAI buddy, which is the name of our sustaining membership here at BAI. You can call 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And you can choose how much money you want to give every month. And you can make it $5 or $10 or $15 or $20, any figure in there that you want. And you tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or your debit card charged. And they'll do that for you. And you'll be helping to keep WBAI on the air. And you'll get that spiffy looking WBAI tote / grocery bag. Woohoo! And you'll get all sorts of discounts and things like that. Or if you would like to make a one-time donation, a lump sum donation, you could do that too. You could call the same number, 1-212-209-2950, and say, hey, I want to make a one-time donation to WBAI in the name of Back of the Book. Tell them it's for Back of the Book. That way we might get credit for it, which is important. Anyway, 1-212-209-2950. And if you contribute $25 or more before sometime in June, you will be able to vote in the upcoming local station board elections. Again, 1-212-209-2950. Please give a call and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. All right. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. There's Mr. Outro Music. And we're going to be getting out of here. So, thanks for listening. And thanks especially to any of you who joined Seth and pledged some amount of money to WBAI in the name of Back of the Book. And we're going to be back here next week with more stuff, including talking about the end of the world. And so we'll be back here in 1 week. Coming up next is a Take Charge of Your Health special. And at 7 o'clock this morning, you can hear Jim Freund with his program, Hour of the Wolf, all about science fiction stuff. Okay, thanks a lot for listening. We're in the middle third. Look out the window and say how nice it looks out there. Really enjoy the fact that sunset is just closing in on 8 o'clock. And above all, remember what that getting out into this middle third dormouse said. So many people.